The content that you're about to hear is provided by the media ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. For more information about our church, please visit bbcemory.org.
Open to Romans chapter 16. As we continue on through the Romans, but also as we end this sunny Sunday, as we're looking at the Great Commission offering in this month of looking at missions. So Romans chapter 16, 1 through 16. I commend to you your sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchreae, that you may welcome her in the Lord a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church and their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Juno, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampletus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who was approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord of Tryphena and Tryposa. Greet the beloved Pessus, who worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus and Phlegon and Hermes and Trobus and Hermas and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia and Nereus and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Let's pray. Father God, we come for you this morning, Lord, as we look at this text, Lord, at the greeting that Paul had for these other believers at Rome, Father God, that we will see our need, Lord, to not only to reach in our community, but to love our brothers and sisters in the States and around the world, Father. And Lord, we love you and I pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I titled this sermon this morning, It Takes All of Us Working Together. And as we see here, this letter, this greeting from Paul to these believers there in Rome. We'll start off with a story. It was from Our Daily Bread, those little magazines that were sent out, and the title was We Cut the Coal. It says, Winston Churchill knew that people who worked behind the scenes don't always get the credit they deserve. During World War II, many of England's coal miners wanted to enlist and fight on the front lines. Churchill acknowledged their patriotism, but reminded them of how valuable their work was to the cause of the war. Some may stay in the pits, he said, and others may stay in the army, but both are equally needed, and for both there is equal credit. Looking ahead to when children would ask their parents what they did in the war, Churchill said, one will say I was a fighter, one will say I was in the submarine service, and in return will say with equal pride and with equal right, we cut the coal. And so what encouragement it was for them fighting during World War II that everybody had a purpose. And just because one looked better than the other, or one looked more glorious than the other, there was all a purpose for them during the war. Now, Paul also gives us something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Though we might not be fighting a physical war, but there's no doubt there is a spiritual war going on. And we see Paul, as he talks there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we, as the body of Christ, we as the believers all have a role to play together as we further God's kingdom work in the gospel. And in our minds, one might seem more glorious than the other, but that is not true, because we all need each other, and we all need every single gift, not only here in Raines County, but we as our other believers in the United States and around the world all play a part together, continue advancing God's gospel and God's kingdom. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 26 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Amen. And so we too, now are we members together. And that is an important thing to remember, because as the local church, as 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says that you may know how one ought to behave in the household of, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and the buttress of truth. And so how we love one another, how we serve together, how we honor one another, how we love one another, how we do the day in and day out life of one another, we as a local church are the buttress of truth, the pillar of truth for this world, for this community, and everywhere in this globe. And so what a great reminder, once again, that us as the body of Christ, we do this together, not only here in our county, not only in Texas, the United States, but around the world, because we as a local church are the buttress of truth. In Matthew 28, 17 through 20, remember, it says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age. And so we have this responsibility as the buttress of truth, as the body of Christ, to not only to reach and to build up this local body, but also to those areas. I saw a map this week of an area. The pastor said, please stop planting churches here, plant them here. And all these open areas where there's no local churches. You know, we think of everywhere from here down to Waco and all these small towns of 3,000 to 1,500. They too need a local church that is biblically healthy, pouring into the members of those local churches, pouring into that community as well. And the same goes for small towns in Texas, all across the United States, and all across the world, that they need the local church, because that is where Christ has chosen to use the local church to advance his kingdom in the gospel. But we also see, as we've read through chapter 16, that as you look through all these different names and as we go through it, but all these different parts working together, but we also see this deep love and sincerity that Paul has for the believers as he reaches out and loving through his words of, you know, encourage this person, encourage that person, thank this person, don't forget about this person. Because as we have seen through Romans, as we look at Romans chapters 1 through 11, we look at the theology of what we believe. And as we get through chapters 12 onward, so we know this theology, we know what we believe, well, this is how we live because of our theology, because of what we've been learning. And part of that theology is I think Paul realizes is that Paul is a smart man as we read the Word of God and the books that he has written and these letters that he has written. There is no doubt that he is a knowledgeable man. But I think Paul realizes the next chapter after 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is 13, and it says, I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy or boast, it is not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And so there's no doubt in my mind that Paul knew the theology, but he understood. He could have all this knowledge in the world, but he realizes it's about relationships. It's about the body of Christ. It's about you can have all this knowledge, but if you have love, then you're a noisy gong. And he realizes as he's gone and as he's in prison looking to the people in Rome, he loves them and he's thankful because as he is in prison, that the kingdom work is still advancing, that the gospel is still advancing, that churches are still being planted, and the word of God continues to go out. And he is so thankful for those relationships. Which is true for us. We are thankful for the body of Christ. We're thankful for this family. We're thankful that God uses across America, but around the globe, that he continues his gospel work. I believe what we see is Paul plainly understood that in his gospel work, that he was a team player who richly valued others and clearly understood that the kingdom of God advances through the combined efforts of God's diverse people working together for the glory of Jesus and the good of others. And I believe that Believers Baptist Church understands that our gospel work, we as a family richly value others and clearly understand that the kingdom of God advances through the combined efforts of God's diverse people working together for the glory of Jesus Christ and the good of others. So there's no doubt in my mind that there is still a ton of work to do around here at Raines County. There is broken families, there is broken people, there is people who yearn and desire for value and love and relationships, who are looking for a greater meaning that only Christ can fulfill, that only the gospel can transform. But like Paul and his thankfulness for the believers at Rome, we too realize that we are called to love our brothers and sisters in the states and the world, and we are to come alongside them for the kingdom and the gospel work. And so not only do we do our due diligence for God's kingdom around here, but we team up with churches that are like-minded, other believers across the world to help them to build up men, to build up the local churches, to pour into their communities, and to continue to build up biblically healthy churches. So as we think about our role as Believers Baptist Church in serving our county, our country, and around the world, I want to talk about these great reminders that we see here in chapter 16, 1 through 16. As Paul is greeting these believers in Rome, and that we see what it realizes it takes for all of us working together. And so my first point, I want to look at verses 1 through 5, and we all have a role to play. Second point, as we look at verses 16 through 15, that it takes everyone from every background. And number 3, scattered throughout all the verses 1 through 16, is it is because of Christ. And those are my 3 points this morning. And so let's look at verses 1 through 5, that we all have a role to play. It says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cintra, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her and whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron or a helper of many and of myself as well. And greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I have thanks, but all the church of the Gentiles give thanks as well. And greet also the church in their house. And so we see, first of all, that Paul is thanking Phoebe. Phoebe was from Cintra or Seaport. It was about 7 or 9 miles east of Corinth, so it makes sense of why Paul came to know who Phoebe was, of being in Corinth and her being so close by. But as we look at what Paul is saying about Phoebe, there are several scholars who believe that it was Phoebe who carried the letter to the Romans. As some say that it is up in the air, but some say that they believe that it is Phoebe who carried this letter to the Romans. And whatever it may be, if that is true or not, what a great blessing, what a great thing that would be for Phoebe. What a great letter that is about to go to the people of Rome, and for thousands of years that we get to read that same letter. And what encouragement it would have been for the church at Rome to read that letter. And what a great gift it was that Phoebe was able to carry that, so be it if she is the one. But even if she was or wasn't the one who carried it, we see Paul with great sincerity and great love for Phoebe. That Paul was trying to commend her to let people know who she was, Believe it or not, they did not have social media, and so they didn't have a way to text someone and say, hey, someone's coming to visit you, I'll back them up. There was no way necessarily for them to send who this person was coming, so it was a good thing in a letter to say, hey, I commend this person, I back this person. And so Paul, with all of his heart, commends and he backs up Phoebe because he knows the character of Phoebe, he knows the life of Phoebe. He has seen firsthand of how Phoebe has poured into his life. And so we see that that she was, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need. For from you, for she was a helper of many and myself as well. And so not only does he call her a servant, serving for God's kingdom, serving for Paul, serving for the other people, that other churches may know who God is, that other churches may know what the gospel is, that the kingdom may continue to be spread. And so she was a servant of that gospel. She was the servant of the kingdom. And not only that, was she a servant, but she was a helper. She's been a helper for many, and Paul says, for myself as well. And so I think we know those people in our churches, in our church family. And guess what? Not only do we have servants here, not only do we have helpers here, but we have other brothers and sisters in Christ with the same giftings. Think about that. At this time and place across the globe is different skin color, different area, different region, different way of growing up, but at the same time, the same giftings because they all come from Jesus Christ, that they too can be a servant. They too can be a helper for God's kingdom and God's work. It says that she was worthy. As I looked at a word study on this word worthy here, I'm going to read the word to you because they kind of give a definition and explain it. It says, worthy refers to a set of scales that balance, the same weight on one side and the other side. If Jesus is in me and my character, then I need to live a lifestyle that will measure equally to the fact that he is in me, or else my lifestyle denies the fact that he is in me. The idea is that the conduct of the saints weigh as much as the character of Christ. Why? Because when we are surrendered to his will, he is living his life through us, and he is the only conduct which is worthy. And so Phoebe's life was worthy. It was that balance that she knew that it was Christ in her. And because Christ was in her, her actions, her love was going to show that. And there is no doubt that we at Believers Baptist Church have that as well. But the reason that we go out and to advance the gospel across the nations, across the world, is that those people come to know Christ. And as Christ transforms them, that they too are able to have a changed heart, to have a changed mind, to live for the gospel and be worthy for the gospel as well. We go down and we look at this couple here, Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the church of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. And so we see this life of Prisca and Aquila, that they risked their necks. We don't know the great detail. We don't know any details of exactly what was going on there. But their love for the gospel, their love for the kingdom, their love for Paul and his ministry, that they were willing to risk their necks in order for Paul to continue on his missionary work to advance the kingdom and to advance the gospel. What a love for the body. That they realize that the body of Christ is all different hands, feet, eyes, nose, whatever it may be. And they realize that they can know all this theology, they can know who God is, but if they don't have love, then it's a noisy gong. And that wasn't for Phoebe, and that wasn't for them as well. Not only did they risk their life, but we see that they hosted a church in their house, that it was their love for the kingdom, their love for the local church, that they were willing to risk opening up their home and inviting people into their home in order for people to come to know the knowledge of who God is, to know the word, and to that church to be used to further God's kingdom work. And so I think what we see here as we all play a role is that we as Christians are to receive, to love, to minister to each other in a way that is distinct from the world around us and that it cannot be comprehended. I was talking to a missionary and I said, would you rather have the money it would take to come visit you and your family, or would you rather the local families, the local church come and visit you? And unanimously, real fast, they're like, we want you to come visit us. And I get it. And I think they understand that that's a large sum of money that it takes to go over there. But, man, I think it is such an encouragement to have other like-minded other believers that they know that we pray for them, that we give to them, that we think about them often, and to have us go over there to love on them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to pour into them, it is a thrill to their soul. And so I understand that Christians are receiving a love and a ministry to each other in a way that is distinct from the world, rest of the world around them. That they see, that the locals see that we're willing to come across the world to love on them and to pour them and to affirm everything that they are doing there in the local church and that is being taught. And so we are to embrace, serve, and care for all those who genuinely name the name of Christ. And so that's why we give at the end of the service today. We give in order that, just like Shannon, the sufficiency of Scripture, he is using the time and the money to not only the local church there in their area, but he pours into other men with the college, that these other men, he pours into them, and they go back to their villages, and they start the local church, and they start to pour in. And then they gather men, and they start pouring into those men. And so what an encouragement for us, not only financially, but our prayers, and as we go and visit, and as we love on them, we see the need for us to embrace and serve and care for all these missionaries that we support, and that we support one another here, whether we're planting churches or whatever it may be, or across the world, that we too are serving the other brothers and sisters across the world. And I pray that as we think of all of us, I mean, we think of all of our gifts, you know. We have prayer words. We have people who write thank you letters. We have people who are encouragers. We have people who come up and say, hey, what needs to be done around here? And they get it done. We have people who thank goodness that we have a church that when people are gone, people can fill in real fast. We have people who might get sick, and I call and say, hey, I need you to fill in, and they're willing to do it. We have people who are love conversation and love people and who engage at work, who engage on the ball fields, who engage at the schools, who continue to make those conversations, those God conversations, those gospel conversations. And I'm sure the list could go on and on, but guess what? The same giftings that I just listed here is the same giftings that are all across the Texas, all across the United States, and across the world. And so we, as believers, not only love and encourage these giftings here, but we love and encourage those giftings across the world with our other brothers and sisters in Christ across the world. And so number two, but as we look at Prisca and Aquila, that they are fellow workers. So a fellow worker, I think being a fellow worker of the body of Christ, or realizing that not only the churches around here but across the world need fellow workers, is that fellow workers realize that the head of the body is the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a fellow worker realizes that the church belongs to Christ and not us. A fellow worker realizes that our orders and our spiritual strength come from the Lord and allow Him to work in and through us. I think a fellow worker is one who is submission to Christ and His provision. As fellow workers, we work together with other brothers and sisters in Christ as part of God's team. As fellow workers, we work to build up others and to help the body and to function as a body. And as a fellow worker, it means teamwork with each other, each believer doing his share for the goals of the head and the team, and that is Jesus Christ. And so I think that we see that as Phoebe. We see that as Aquila and him and his wife, that they were fellow workers, that they realized that the church belonged to Christ, that their strength and their spiritual giftings came from Christ, that they were submitted and their provision came from Christ, that they worked together as part of God's team and not theirs alone. But they realize that bigger picture. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we fellow workers, not only for this local church, not only for this community, but across the United States and across the world, that we pour into love on these fellow believers. And so I think Paul, he understood the importance of the local church, but at the same time he saw the context to go outside of the local church and to pour into other local churches. And so Paul communicating these greetings, I think it shows us his strategy of, you know, thinking about, as we talk about, there's other local churches that are here. And so Paul writes this letter, and and this one church across one town hears about the other church across the town. They see them. They see the love they have for Paul, and both of them love Paul, and they see the love for one another, and all working together. And it's amazing that through this letter, that they get to realize that there's other local churches around loving on Paul, and there's other churches around that are like-minded and helping one another. And so my second point, looking at verses 6 through 15, it takes everyone from every background. I'm not going to go through every single name here, though there is some pastors who have done that. But I just wanted to point out a few things as we looked at this long list of names. I think there's several conclusions that we can take and learn from this list. If you look at verses 8 and 9, that a majority of these names are Gentile, and so a majority of the Gentiles are making up the local church there. And there's other Gentile names besides verses 8 and 9, but I'm just giving you an example. There are some Jewish names. We see in verse 7 that there is a Jewish name in the list. Number 3, that a majority of these names are slaves or freed men or freed women, meaning they were slaves at one point but had been given their freedom, as we look at verses 8 and 9. That some of these were descendants of slaves or descendants of freedmen. We see that some of the people some of these people had wealth. Some of these people had great wealth and were using it for God's kingdom work. But we also see that some came from a lower class and had no money. Some had nothing because they were slaves. And as they had their freedom, they were working and trying to make it in a day and day out life. But it is interesting to see that through all this list that God lists people working together who had a lot, who had everything, and who had nothing, but still working side by side. There's a mention of at least 3 different churches there in verses 5, 14, and 15. And also, that Paul mentions 9 women that played an important role in the early church. In verse 3, and of Prisca and Juna and Tryphena and Tryphosa, that God would use men and women to continue his kingdom work. And what a great encouragement for those women. They get to come alongside and continue God's kingdom work. It reminds me, going through this list and looking at these people and the different backgrounds of Galatians 3, 24 through 29. So then the law was our guarding until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And that is true here for this list here. That it is Christ at the center of all of it. Some were slaves, some were Jews, some were Gentiles, some were men, and some were women. But God used them all for his kingdom work and for his glory and to advance God's kingdom work. And so what a beautiful picture it was to see these other lists of churches that were around, as I said earlier, and to realize that that there is this church across town doing the same work that is at this church across the town. That they are realizing the same work that is going on, that they both know Paul, because that's how God works. It's amazing how these relationships that we've made with other churches, that we've made with Shannon, and how Shannon knows these believers in this other church, and we know them as well. And so how God providentially puts all of us together to work together, to work his kingdom work. It is such an amazing thing. You know, it's an amazing thing when you continue to think, the book of Philippians in Philippi, where Paul visited the church at Philippi on his 3rd missionary journey, and guess what? The Gentiles there generously gave money, and he would take that money and to go support the churches in Jerusalem. And so what a beautiful picture of the Jews in Jerusalem, and Paul on his 3rd missionary journey with the Gentiles. They give him money, and he takes it over to support the church and the Jews over there in Jerusalem. And so what a beautiful picture of the body of Christ everywhere working together. And the third point, the reason that we can have these different giftings, the reason that we all have a role to play, the reason that we can realize it takes all of us from every background to do God's kingdom work is it is because of Christ. And so I just want to read through these some of these verses and just hopefully stand out of what it says, this phrase or this idea that comes up. In verse 3, he says that they are workers in Christ Jesus. In verse 5, it says he was converted to Christ. In verse 7, that they were in Christ before me. In verse 8, that they was in the Lord. In verse 9, that they were workers in Christ. In verse 10, that they were approved in Christ. In verse 11, that those are in the Lord. In verse 12, that they worked hard in the Lord. In verse 13, that they were chosen in the Lord. And then verse 16, that they were churches of Christ. And so I think what a great reminder that it wasn't Paul's power. It wasn't all about Paul. He's not the one who created all these gifts. He's not the one who converted all these people. It wasn't the Gentiles there who saved all those people. It wasn't the Gentiles who created all this work, but it was in Christ that all was being done. Because those local churches existed, because those locals' hearts and minds were changed, was because of Christ, was because of the gospel. Because any and all work that was going on, it was because it was in the Lord and it was from Christ and through Christ that all that was being done. And so what a great reminder that as we do our work here in the local church and in our giftings and all the different backgrounds, that we are quite reminded, hopefully real fast, that is not us, that God has created us, that God has given those giftings, that as 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 says, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you as of first importance that I also receive, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, accordance with Scripture." That is why we can realize our giftings, is because of what Christ has done for us. The life that we did not deserve, the sinful life we did not deserve, and Christ died on us and was buried and raised 3 days later, that he would take our sins and that he impute his righteousness so that we can stand before God, that our heart or mind are changed, that we no longer live for ourselves, that we see the bigger picture of the gospel work, the kingdom work, not only in our community, but across the United States and across the world. And I think it's because of the gospel that we can think like this, as Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, as Paul is writing to the local church there. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves, and let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is in Christ Jesus." And so that list of in Christ, by Christ, saved by Christ, the reason that we can have that mindset, the reason that we can think way less of ourselves and more for others is because of what Christ has done. And that because of the gospel, that we can be like-minded. And I'm not saying it's not easy. There's times where we want what we want. And there's times where we're tired and we want the easy way out. But we're able to have this power of the Holy Spirit to help us rethink, to go beyond our strength, and to realize that others are more important than ourselves. And so I want to give us some application this morning, as not only do we get to partake together in the Lord's Supper, but what a beautiful thing to think about that, that as we as a local body of Christ get to remembrance of what Christ has done for us, but also across Texas, across the United States, across the world, that we have other brothers and sisters coming together to take communion, to remember what Christ has done for them as well. And so our hope and our joy and our desire is that everyone across the United States and around the world get to partake in God's grace and the giving of the communion, that other brothers and sisters of Christ get to realize what Christ has done for them, and that the power of the local church there across the world. But as I end, as we conclude, some application that I wanted us to think about. Number one, that we should greatly appreciate and value all of our brothers and sisters regularly and thank God and them for all that they do for us in Jesus. And so not only do we greatly appreciate and value all of our brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church, but also the brothers and sisters in Christ that that we get to see at our conferences, that we get to talk to over the phone, that we know are serving at other biblically healthy churches around the world. I know there's no doubt that Jason and Kyle and them are thankful the conference they get to be at because of the other brothers and sisters in Christ that are doing great work in that local church, and I know for the kingdom. There's no doubt that we are thankful for men like Shannon and Heartcry and all that they are doing tirelessly to pour into men and to pour into leaders to build up local churches across the globe. And we can be thankful for them. Number two, it is not just church leaders who advance the cause of Christ on the earth, but all the varied people of God laboring together for the glory of Jesus and the good of the church. And so it is not just us leaders who advance the cause of Christ or advance the cause of kingdom the kingdom, but it is as the as it says in Matthew, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It is my desire and joy that I pour into other men and women and that they will be built up and they will come to understanding who Christ is. They will come to an understanding of the Word of God, that they can rightly handle the Word of God, and that they can go out and pour into relationships where they work, in their homes, in the schools, wherever it may be. The harvest is plentiful, but that we work up, we raise up these workers and to send out. And the same is true here. The same is true across Texas, United States, and around the world, that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we have varied people of God laboring together for the glory of Jesus Christ and the good of His church. And thirdly, if you're an unbeliever this morning, I think you look at this list and you realize God's mercy to all the saints in this passage who formerly were lost sinners. The same could be true for you now, that you need to seek Him through faith by the grace of Jesus Christ. And the only reason, as we just saw, that they have come to know the faith in Christ is because of Christ. The only reason that they are servants for the kingdom, the only reason that all this diversity is going on for the kingdom is because of Christ and the gospel. And so I hope this morning, as I'm going to call the men up and I'm going to pray for the Great Commission offering, but hopefully in your mind, hopefully this was an encouragement, and hopefully it's one of those where we need to be reminded often. And I know we think about it, I know we know about it, but it's often a good reminder. And I thought this passage did a good thing to remember that it takes all of us working together, that all of us have a role to play, that it takes everyone from every background, not only in this local church, not only in our county, not only in the United States, but across the world, that we too can be like Paul and send letters thanking God for the great work that He is doing in other local churches across the world. And that we remember it is only because of Christ. And what a great reminder that this morning that we will take. The only reason that we are changed, our hearts and our minds, the only reason that we can stand before God is because of what Christ has done on the cross. So, men, if you will come forward this morning, I'm going to pray for our Great Commission offering. And then after that is done, Patrick is going to come up and lead us in the time of the Lord's Supper. And then after Patrick is done, we will end with a song, and then we will be dismissed.